I'll never get anything done if you talk to me. I want to clean your furnace. So I turn on my vacuum cleaner so you can't talk to me. So anyway,
Oh, that sounds good right there. I like that.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are
Psalm 107, verses 1 through 8. Why don't you stand with me, please? We're going to move quickly this morning. I hope that I don't go too fast. There's a lot of material that I want to cover. And Lord willing, Psalm 107, verse 1, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say that with me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and hath gathered them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth in the right way, and they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. God, I pray that if we know Christ is our personal Savior, that we are saying so, that we're bragging about you, talking about you, exercising the life that you have blessed us with. Bless this time, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We have been talking for our New Year's resolution, if you will, to just being all in for the Lord with my whole heart. And Psalm 119 has been our text, and we'll reference that text this morning as well. We said basically there are three things that need to take place. A decision has to be made with my whole heart. That's a salvation decision. To follow the Lord with your whole heart is a direction has to be taken. So once you're saved, you're going to go in a particular direction. And lastly, to follow the Lord with your whole heart is a determination, is practiced. I don't know about you, but I've been saved most of my life. I was saved at 4 years old, grew up in a Christian home. But serving the Lord does not always come naturally. There's a determination that you get up and you choose to follow Christ. Obviously, he helps you, but there's also the old nature in there. There's some struggles. There's the world. There's enticements that can get you sidetracked. And so a determination is made to follow the Lord. The first thing, a decision is made. You recognize that you are a sinner, and you repent and you are born again. Christian terms, born again, John 3:3. You're saved or you're converted to Christ. There's three ways that we could say that. And I need to bring up something this morning, a tragedy that is taking place in Canada that could be headed here. Canada has outlawed conversion therapy. Conversion therapy refers to the practice of encouraging someone who believes that they are a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa, a person who has what is referred to as a same-sex attraction. I know this is uncomfortable to speak of, but the fact remains that in our schools today, children as young as 10 years old or less are being taught that they may not be what they think they are or what their birth certificate says. Now, that's the reality of life right now. I know it's uncomfortable. I don't like it, but that's the truth. I heard of a school here in the state where it's not uncommon for the class, the teacher, to address the class first thing in the morning and say, "What would you like to be today?" And they're able to choose. Well, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but you are who God made you to be, and God makes no mistakes. So this is the battle that is being fought, and in Canada, it has gone very poorly. It is now against the law to preach or teach God's word in relation to human sexuality. Let me read a letter to you that was sent to Pastor John MacArthur in California, and I'm just reading highlights to this, and my entire message is not about this, but I did sign a letter saying that we would talk about this on this particular day. It says, "Pastor John, thank you so much for your willingness not only to shine a light on the situation here in Canada, but also your partnership in calling other men to preach on biblical sexuality on January 16th in unity and solidarity with ministers here in Canada. I and we are truly grateful for your ministry and service. Bill C-4 passed through the House and the Senate without opposition. Not a single dissenting vote was cast by any member of the Conservative Party. It received royal assent on December 8th, which means it will come into law after January 8th, 2022. The bill will amend the criminal code in Canada to ban conversion therapy. It will criminalize, among other things, causing another person to undergo conversion therapy, promoting or advertising conversion therapy. In the preamble of the bill, it says that the belief that heterosexuality or identity expression that conforms to your sex assigned to a person at birth are to be preferred over sexual orientation, gender identities, and gender expression is a myth." In other words, According to a Canadian law, as of January 8th, the belief in God's design for marriage and sexuality will now be seen as a myth. Everyone knowingly causes another person to undergo conversion therapy, which is just basically encouraging them to be who God made them to be, including by providing conversion therapy to another person, is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for a term of not more than 5 years. Similarly, anyone knowingly who promotes or advertises conversion therapy is guilty of an indictable offense and is liable to imprisonment for a term of not more than 2 years. On January 16th, 2022, faithful men across this country, and many in the United States as well, will be preaching on God's design for marriage and a biblical ethic of sexuality. We will be doing so illegally, declaring to the state that there is one God and one Lord over His church, and that Christ alone gets to both define marriage and dictate what is required in the pulpit. We are honored that our American brothers will be joining us in this. And so obviously that was the letter that was sent to Pastor John MacArthur, just some excerpts from it. John MacArthur writes, in 2012, California passed Senate Bill 1172 banning gay conversion alongside New York, New Jersey, and Nevada. In doing this, the California government sought to prohibit any correction of an unbiblical view of sexual identity because California has a compelling interest in protecting the well-being of lesbian, gay, and bisexual and transgender individuals. And on August 18, 2020, the Democratic Party declared at the National Convention that it would ban harmful conversion therapy practices. The Obama administration appointed more than 250 LGBTQ plus people to serve in the government. The Biden administration has promised to increase that number and has done so thus far. There are other things that are mentioned here, but you can get the sense of the battle that is being fought for, if you will, for and against conversion therapy. I would just like to say that the Bible is a book on conversion. You and I, in Christ, without Him, need to be converted. Psalm 51:13 says, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Matthew 18:3, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 15:3, and being brought on their way to the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and it caused great joy among all the brethren. Conversion is not to be fought, it is celebrated in the Christian faith. Thank God there was a day when Stan Griffin was converted to Jesus Christ, because I was a sinner that needed the grace of God in my life. And what is happening when they say they want to ban conversion therapy, it is a step to banning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Canada has already done it. And they will be throwing preachers in jail in Canada. And don't you think for a second it could never happen in the United States of America, because trust me, we are headed in that direction. And it's time for Christians to take a stand on right and wrong. Now, I don't know about you. I like to get along with folks. I don't like to argue, and I won't argue. But every now and then, when something wrong is said, we just need to say so. I was talking to a man this week that someone had come along into his circle, and there was an individual there that said, well, we don't really know. God could be a female. And that individual looked at him and said, no, that's not possible. And we'll see, well, you don't know that. And he said, yes, I do know that. God is a male. The Bible says so. End of story. Well, I was thrilled he said that. This individual said, well, you know, I can see this is a divisive topic. He said, no, it's not divisive at all. It's just the way it is. And, you know, it's not fun to do those things, but if someone says black is white and it's really black, somebody just needs to point out what's black and what's white. I don't know about you, but when you look in the mirror, and I don't want to be crass here, you are what God made you to be, period. God does not make mistakes. And if you don't like how your life is going, talk to your maker that made you. And he can straighten all those things out. But I'll tell you what, Stan Griffin needed to be converted to Jesus Christ. I was converted. He's changed my life. And I love the Christian faith. Amen? So don't you back off on the idea of conversion. It's the key to the gospel. A nation running on feelings cannot tolerate facts. And that's where we're at right now. Everybody wants to feel so good about certain things. You know what? Feelings doesn't cut it. Wasn't feeling, didn't feel good to go to World War in World War II and take on the Nazis and the Japanese. But it was a job that needed to be done. Thankfully, we didn't operate on feelings. We went on fact. We confronted evil, and God gave us a victory. And I believe he will again if we confront those things. And I'll say this, and we'll move on. Satan hates three things. He hates God's word, God's church, and God's family. He's doing pretty good in getting rid of God's word in society today. He's working hard on getting rid of the church. And sad to say, a lot of our churches aren't really standing for truth anymore. So he's neutralized those. And the last thing to fall will be the family. And when you start changing human sexuality, you have destroyed the family. So those three things you want to keep your eye on and make sure that you take a stand when we are called to stand. A decision has to be made, and thank God I chose conversion, and I'm thrilled that I did. I've been born again. Number two, a direction has to be taken. Jesus referred to a different path when he said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter it at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." When I was in grade school, We studied different types of advertising philosophy. And one of the advertising philosophies was you want to get people on the bandwagon. It's the bandwagon practice. Everybody wants to be a part of everything that's going on. It's the bandwagon. Get on the bandwagon. We're all riding together. Well, Satan loves the bandwagon. He wants us all to get on the big wide way where everybody's going. Well, you know what? Not everybody's going the right direction. Fact is, most people are not going in the right direction. And it's kind of a lonely job at times to choose the narrow way that Jesus talks about. It's the harder way. It's the more difficult way. But it leads to eternal life. And the crowd is going in the wrong direction. Watch out for that. You need to choose the right direction. And chances are, it's the path least taken. And those are the correct ones. We used to sing, "Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on." The direction is to follow Jesus Christ. I can't begin to tell you how satisfying it is to follow the Lord. I've tried both. And if you'll be honest, you have too. Our best days, without question, without comparison, is following Jesus Christ. So a direction has to be taken. And those are two things that we've already talked about. The new ground this morning is a determination has to be practiced. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." If you know that, say that with me. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Now, obviously, we have taught that verse for years and years. And the belief is, and the correct application of it in one way would be, if I hide God's word in my heart, if I memorize scripture. And so it's a great verse for emphasizing the importance of memorizing scripture. I hope that you do that. If there's a verse that touches you, memorize it, remember it, put it to heart. But it's also a verse that teaches us that God's word is a primary tool that we carry with us that affects the decisions that we make. So I've got God's word locked in my heart that I might not sin against God. And it's a tool that I carry with me that affects some of the things that I do. Now, most of you know that for 32 years, I ran an oil company. For a lot of years, I did service work, and I still have a service van. Many of you have furnaces in your homes that I've worked on. Now, this isn't a pitch for that, but I'm looking around. In fact, a lot of people here, more than I wish, I've worked on your furnaces. No offense to you, but it's just the way life was at that time. So, I've been there. You've seen me show up. And what I do is I go around to the back of my Ford van, and I open up the doors. And here's all my, I grab my tool bag. Even in my mind, I can see all these things in the clutter in my van even now as I'm looking. I grab my tool bag out. I grab my vacuum cleaner. I grab an oil bucket that hangs here on the rack, and I grab that down. I get the correct brush for your boiler. And so I've got my vacuum cleaner, my tool bag, my oil bucket, and a boiler brush, and I carry those things with me. I thought about coming dressed for work this morning and having the stuff out back. And that's going too far. So anyway, work with me. Imagine, if you will, in your mind's eye, I've got my vacuum cleaner, my toolbox, my oil bucket, my brush, and probably an RF1 oil filter. And so I'm walking into your house, and I've got these things, and I just say, where's the basement? And so I go to the basement. I've got these things. These tools are with me. I carry them with me. They keep me focused on what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm in homes that nobody's there. You're trusting folks. And so, or someone will say, hey, did you see such and such while you were in my house? I'm sorry, I'm not looking at anything else. I'm just looking for the boiler. Why? Because I'm carrying these things and I just want to get to where I'm going. That's all. I'm not looking for where your bedroom is, your kitchen is, where I don't care whether I want the boiler. Just show me the boiler. So I go down there and I get there and I turn on my vacuum cleaner. I'm telling some trade secrets now. I turn on my vacuum cleaner because a lot of times customers want to come down and talk. I'll never get anything done if you talk to me. I want to clean your furnace. So I turn on my vacuum cleaner so you can't talk to me. So anyway, I turn on my vacuum cleaner. That thing's running and it's making noise. And I'm going at it and all this. And then I get all done and I head out. And if you will, those things are just an attachment to me. If you said, hey, let's go get a coffee, wouldn't it look stupid if I said, okay, and I try to get into your car and I've got my vacuum cleaner, my toolbox, and my brush, and my oil bucket. What are you doing? You got to put the, no, this is who I am. I'm a furnace man today. Does that make sense? Okay. Picture this now. Put all that aside. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, I carry with me the tools, the uniform, the code of Jesus Christ. I go nowhere without that. Since I trusted Christ as my personal Savior as a young person, I have never been anywhere without Christ, ever. Neither of you, if you know Christ as your personal Savior. He is with you. He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. You can say, well, Stan, I don't want to admit this, but I've been in certain places he was with you. Get that? He was with you. Not only that, he gives you certain tools for you to practice your trade with, and the Bible teaches those tools. Number one, if you're in verse number 13 of, let me see here. No, it's not there. It must be Psalm 119. Go, you're in 107 now. Let's just go over to Psalm 119. And in verse number 13, I'm going to give you three tools from Psalm 119 that is going to be the things that you constantly carry with you if God's word is hidden in your heart, and I believe that it is. Okay? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Number one, verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. That's called declaration. Declaring, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what we said in our text this morning. You and I declare that we are Christians. I'll tell you what, if you and I declared more often that we were Christians, it would affect some of the places that we take Christ as you get ready to walk into a bar and say, I'm a Christian. I don't think so. Oh, really? You don't have to declare that you're a Christian. You can just gossip the gospel. I'd like to think that as Christians, you and I talk a certain way. Now, I know we talk about Christianese, and sometimes we speak in such a way that people don't understand what we're saying. We're talking about being born again or saved or converted. People, if you say, hey, I was converted yesterday in church, huh? What was that? What do you mean? Those are Christianese terms. But the fact is, if you just talk the gospel in a conversation, in the things that you do, the fact is, I do that. I was at a supply house a while ago, and there was these couple of rednecks in there, and of course I am a redneck too, so that's not a derogatory term, but a couple of these rednecks in there, and they had this old gigantic hot air furnace that he had just bought for a song. He's talking about how great a shape it was in, but it didn't work. So you got to wonder how great a shape it was in if it didn't work, but he was talking about what a good furnace it was and all that, but he couldn't make it run. So he's talking about certain things that he wanted to do to this furnace to make it run. And I said to him, of course, the guys on the counter, they're all listening to this conversation and stuff, and they don't, you know, there's some liability involved when you're trying to build a fire in someone's house. And so everybody's trying to back off from the conversation. I don't care. I don't know these guys, and my insurance is paid up. We'll probably be fine. So I said to him, I said, they talked about the things they want to do, and I said, you know, we really wouldn't recommend that you do that. And he said, well, why is that? And I said, well, you got an old furnace, and you're trying to talk about putting these new efficient parts into it. And he said, really, we talk, that's like putting new wine in old bottles. And he says, really? He says, I've never heard that phrase before, new wine in old bottles. And I said, my guess is you don't go to church, do you? And he says, no. And he says, my guess is you don't drink, do you? But, you know, if you just throw out a term like that every now and then, they're going to recognize there's something a little bit different about you. And obviously they do. They look at me like I'm kind of strange. But you know what? I'd rather be strange with Jesus Christ than whatever they are without him. No offense. That's not judgmental. I just know what a good deal Jesus Christ is. One of the tools that we get to carry with us is God's word hidden in our heart is our declaration. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Next tool is celebration. Verses 14 is in Psalm 119 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Rejoice and delight. I think we'd agree that those are fun terms, good terms. Do you like to rejoice? Do you like to delight? I delight in certain things. I delight in my wife. Okay? I delight in macaroni and cheese. Hot dogs. I delight, there's things that honestly you think, well, those are happy thoughts, happy times. I think that the message of Jesus Christ is one of the happiest thoughts I have. I'm not kidding. I love it. I love the gospel. Celebration, declaration, the celebration. I was talking to another preacher recently, and he said, this guy has a major ministry. We're small potatoes compared to his. And he said, I cannot speak for other pastors or other ministries. He said, but as far as our ministry goes, he said, one thing I've noticed that COVID has done to our ministry, we're talking about celebration now. He said, one thing I've noticed that COVID has done to our ministry is that most of the people in our church is angry. Angry. We're talking Christians. Angry. And he enumerated on some of those things a little bit, and I wrote them down. They're angry that, hang on, my notes are out of place here. I'll find it. Too many pages. Just talk amongst yourselves if you want to. This is what happens when you get away from your notes. I got celebration. I didn't number my pages. Okay, here there. I'm ready. Okay, so I apologize. They're angry that any that are there are wearing a mask and you aren't. Angry that you are wearing a mask and you shouldn't. Angry that you shook their hand or hugged them. Angry that you did not shake their hand or hug them. You see where this goes? That's what COVID's done for us. And it's turned the greatest body of believers, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Sunday morning crowd, Which I'd like to think I'm part of the Sunday morning crowd. I'd like to think that if you find, so one of the things that we've been talking security at our house, I probably shouldn't say this, that's out. So pretty much people know where the Griffin family is on Sunday morning. If you're one looking for an opportunity to get into our house, chances are Sunday morning is a good chance because we ain't there. We're in God's house on Sunday morning. And pretty much the same thing could be said about most of you that are here. So I can show you a diagram of how to build a shotgun trap to your front door or different things. You know, did I say that out loud? You know, so, you know. But anyway, so we've been talking about security, and we've done a few things. I would not recommend coming to my house on Sunday morning, just saying. You can don't find out the hard way. But anyway, so, all of these things you can talk about, but we're talking about God's people, God's church, and what's Satan done? He's made us angry. Stop that. Stop that. If somebody wants to wear a mask, God bless them, wear one. If someone's not wearing a mask and you are, don't you judge them. Stop that. We are celebrating the fact that God has saved us, forgiven our sins. We're singing his praises, and we're looking around saying, that guy's not right. You know who's not right? If you're thinking that, you're not right. Stop it. We're celebrating here. I feel like my father used to say when we were getting along like that as kids, you give her a hug. You tell her you love her. So, when you get home, I should say, turn to your neighbor and hug him. No, because I wouldn't do that. But anyway, this is ridiculous. We're celebrating here. We used to sing, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, that I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. That's the crowd I want to be around. We're celebrating. I ran across this. Said, James, this is your turn. I ran across this clip. Back in the 90s, there was a guy that was still alive named Curtis Hudson. He was an evangelist. And when I was in Bible college back in the 80s, you guys don't know the element of people I was in, but this service like this is exactly what I remembered. It made me smile, and you can think this is a whack job if you want to. I have no problem with that because you could be right. But the fact is, we ought to celebrate being in church together and that we are on the winning side. I am on the winning side. Say that with me. I am on the winning side. So this is not an endorsement of this video, but it makes me smile. Go ahead, James.
Well, after all this singing, I shouldn't do this, but I'll come to the piano. Let me sing something to you. You want my little country singing, you know. There might be a couple of country people in heaven. You can't ever tell. There might be some that don't have trained voices, you know. I'm not trying to sing because I think I can sing. I just want to sing. Once I wondered, out in sin, had no peace, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. But the Savior came along and he showed me I was right, and he placed me on the winning side. Sin, well, I abide.
Now, what you don't know is, if you know Curtis Hudson at all, he'd lost about 50 pounds there. He was fighting cancer. And everybody knew that he had a death sentence. And he's in heaven now. But while he was fighting cancer, he was singing, "I'm on the winning side." I don't know about you, but that inspires me. And sometimes we just need to declare that we're born again, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to celebrate the life that God has blessed us in and recognize that we are on the winning side. And sometimes I get frustrated and I look around and I see what's going on in our country and some of our churches and some of the dissatisfaction that is happening and amongst our believers and think, really? Really? With all that we have in Christ, and this is the best that we can do? And I'm telling you, you need to celebrate how the tools that God has given you, that if God's word is hidden in your heart, then this down and out, the question is, are you up and at him or are you down and out? Well, I want to be up and at him. We used to get up, and I grew up, get up in the morning, and Dad would look at us and say, "Are you up and at him?" And I said, "Dad, please, I was not up and at him. I was just barely surviving, it seemed like." And I want you to know, Christian, we need to be up and at him. We need to be enjoying the life that God has given us. God's word is hidden in our heart. And lastly, and I'll close with this, is that the last point of it is the meditating. Verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts, and I'll have respect unto thy ways." Think about the good things, Romans 10:15, that God has done for us. And I'm going to give you a last verse. I want you to take this home with you, Isaiah 26:3. And when I point to you, we've done this. Getting ready to close. Don't worry. Don't worry. This isn't going to go on. We're out of time. When I point to you, I want you to say why. So we'll try it. 1, 2, 3.
Why?
Oh, that was pathetic. You guys are already gone home. You've already left the building. Okay? All right. 1, 2, 3.
Why?
Here we go. All right. So I'm going to point to you. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We'll do that one more time. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And I'm telling you, if you lack peace this morning, you set your mind on the things of the Lord. And I promise you, I know this from experience, when you just take your situation and you put it in the hands of the Lord, God will give you peace. And I think that's what we need. And if you and I would run around with those tools of the trade, the celebration, the declaration, the meditation, to serve the Lord, I'm telling you, we won't be down and out. We'll be up and at him. Heavenly Father.